From unsolved mysteries to unexplained phenomena, from comedy gold to relationship fails, Amazon Music's got the most ad-free top podcasts. Included with Prime. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Dave Moore on Today FM.
You're listening to the Dave Moore Show.
Tell you what, clip that and put that Let's Earn the Sweeper right there.
And this is for all you night owls out there. Dave, hello.
Nice to see you. Congratulations on House of Guinness. This is phenomenal. This is going to become everybody's favourite new drama.
Oh, man. That's so sound of you to say.
Yeah, like I binged it. Like I had it done in 2 days.
Oh, wonderful.
Man, that's fascinating. You know, it's so nice to hear. Like this is our first sort of round of media and talking to people. We haven't met many people who've actually seen the show.
Yeah.
So to hear you be so effusive about it and be so complimentary does feel really good. I think it's such a good show.
It is.
I think everyone's brilliant in it. Mm. I think the cast are so good. I think the writing's so good.
Yeah. One of the things that could be quite difficult in a show like this is, to, like it was for Peaky, I think as well, is to nail the accent, right? Uh-huh. Anto, like we're talking here about a man grew up in Belfast, studied in Wales, and you're doing this perfect Anglo-Irish Dublin gentry accent. It is very impressive.
Thank you, lad. Yeah. I do you know what it was, man? Because like the accent sort of doesn't exist anymore. There's no like clips of it.
That's it.
So I was sort of like, I was trying to think of like the most sort of West Brit sort of thing I could think, you know, and sort of trying to make that sort of, how would it be if he's trying to renounce his Irishness and have this sort of peacock-esque sort of quality.
But he's not doing an impression of a British accent. That's the key thing. Yeah. Because I think if you'd gone that far, would have been like, oh, there's no way Arthur Guinness would have had
this is it. And I wanted to retain some sort of like Irishness identity in him, that he was trying to like rebel against himself. Like he had this sort of like Irish bile in his stomach and he was, you know, trying to like sort of like negate that sort of part of him. So I'm glad that you picked up on the voice.
Definitely.
That was something
was excellent.
We worked a lot with.
Lady Olivia, Danielle, your character, she's incredible. What I will ask you though, right, could you do... Watch it again. We never give spoilers on the show before the show, right? But her marriage isn't a traditional marriage to Arthur.
In so many words.
In so
what
many
do you mean?
Words. Yeah. Let's just say that.
What are you talking about?
So, but could you marry for the right political or personal, non-romantic, non-love reasons? Or do you, like most of us, have a beautiful romantic idea of what it's going to be whenever it happens? Or like, or would you just go, no, you know what? I need to go and marry that Hollywood director and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, to be honest now, like, I'm getting on. And I kind of think I might leave it and just marry for money in the end, maybe. Yeah.
Smart.
There's also something very glamorous to being divorced, I think.
Yeah.
Divorcee, it sounds nice,
it's
you know?
Sexy.
So I think I learned a lot. I've learned a lot from all my characters, but I definitely learned a lot from Lady Olivia there of being like, the most important thing is to marry someone who you can be your best friends
marry
with.
Marry a gay, rich man.
Yeah.
is what you're taking away.
And I think that marriage means a lot more to Olivia than love and romance, you know? And I think for women at that time, their options are so limited. So it's not just, I guess it was never going to just be romance. It has to be security. It has to be safety. She's also trying to save her family from ruin. And I think also she's, I really see her as like, I think she feels like an underdog.
Mm.
So I think she's coming down from Cork into this, into this like Dublin Anglo-Irish aristocratic, or not aristocratic, she's an aristocrat, but this this new money world. And I think she wants to come in and really like grab it by the horns and push it as far as she can.
She
so
does.
I think she really does. And I think where she trips herself up is like underestimating her own capacity and need for love.
Because
I think she really does fall for Arthur in that they do really love each other by the end of it. And then, well, I can't give any spoilers, but she also falls head over heels for someone very unsuitable.
Yes.
So I think she goes into it being very strategic, but as you say, in us all, there's just a romantic at the heart of it.
And you see that. Both your characters are real people and both very important people in Dublin and in Irish history. For example, Arthur, the reason we have Stephen's Green, Arthur Guinness gave that to Dublin. The reason we've got St. Anne's Park is because Olivia gave that to Dublin. So there are so many important bits, but how do you approach then... Okay, this person's real. This person had a real life. They're not that long gone. Mm. You know, like this is 1860s. We're kind of coming into the story when those characters are young.
Mm.
But you still want to be dramatic. You want to be all the things that Stephen needs you to be, all the things the directors need you to be. Do you ever bother about that or just go, I'm just going to focus on what I've got on the page?
Very little research from Donnie and I.
Just, speak for yourself.
Very little research. Show up and do it. Barely learn the lines.
He read the Wikipedia page, I think.
Yeah, I skimmed it. Let's be honest. I don't know.
There's also another...
ChatGPT, summarize this, please.
He had a mustache, grand. Yeah, I'll play him. What? Do you know what? It's funny you said about Stephen Green. I remember like looking at that statue of him and like thinking about him. Like he's the way he's posed in that statue is wild. It looks like he's on a chaise longue. Mm. And you're going, like his legs sort of
laid back.
And all. Mm. And there's something so sort of like rich and entitled about that pose. And I thought, imagine him getting up off that, statue and walking about. And you sort of, when there's a lot written about him, like there's only two photos of him. And there's one of the photos of him and he's staring right down the barrel of the lens. And he's like, he looks so severe, but he's got this little straw hat just cocked to the side.
Oh, right.
And I just loved that. I thought, like, who is that guy? Like this power, like real power in him, but just this little sort of, just this little wee thing. I was like, and then seeing him sort of like laying down like that, I that was good too. Little markers for me that I used because I can't read Wikipedia pages. It was all visual. All my research,
Danielle Campbell,
all my research was visual.
I'm a prepper. My mate Ash always slags me for it, but I love all of that because I think it just adds to like a creative soup. But things that stuck out for me about the real woman were how she came in, knocked down the Dublin residence, rebuilt it, renamed it St. Anne's. And for me, that was like kind of a physical manifestation of her like coming into this Guinness family, being like, you know, I'm going to play by my own rules. Mm. I'm going to have my bits on the side. I'm going to have my income. No, I want 15,000 actually, you know. Yeah. So that for me really checked out and tied in. And then there was lovely things about her later in her life about she named roses and like had some roses named after her. And like, I loved the idea of her, and you'll see it in her costumes as well. Like she's so flamboyant. Like, so this idea of like petals and like blossoms and blooming and these soft colors, but then everything she says is a barb or a thorn or something like that. And then she also was like a member of the Watercolor Society of Ireland.
Right. Yeah.
So like this thing of like her sitting there painting, and all her colors of all her costumes are really kind of almost like pastels.
That's
and
right,
things
yeah.
like that. So all of that. And like, I think the notion of her just sitting, because I think she very much comes into it being like, this is my golden age. This is my gilded age now. I've reached the top.
Honest,
and then like her gilded age becomes kind of a gilded cage. Whoa.
Nice.
She's a poet.
Danny's quotes today. Rhyme,
I'm rapping, guys. I'm on the flow.
About a knife, knife edge. You're unbelievable.
But this
Danny.
Like image of her like looking out from these windows, painting these landscapes of like something that there is something missing. Although she has it all, there's something missing and she doesn't know what it is. And then maybe that is her lover that comes in at the end, or what she's looking or searching, a sense of searching, even though she has it all. Anyway, sorry, I'm rabbiting on now.
No,
that's brilliant.
Wikipedia was great for me, basically.
You were great. So good.
You are Lady Olivia and Arthur Guinness, a married couple. A marriage, strange and interesting.
A mariage blanc.
Was that your Arthur Guinness impression?
No, it definitely wasn't. I don't know why I did that. Actually. Was it? Okay, because I didn't even give it a thought, because if I start,
Do your Lady Olivia there, go on.
How do I look?
Oh. Nailed it.
Thank you. That's my favourite line, the whole thing, by the way. The head turn.
That, I always just felt that, you know, when I'm like Queen Cleopatra was on coins.
Yes.
And like the queen would always be on a stamp. I always thought like Lady Olivia had a notion that she wanted to be on a stamp.
That profile.
So that's her stamp. Yeah. That's her like... her stamp so moment.
You'll definitely see that when you watch the show and you'll know exactly what we're talking about. Look, to both of you, you've had... great careers up until this point, but I do feel...
all downhill after.
No, yeah, on the contrary, I think...
peak too early.
Are you ready for what's about to happen, given the fact that you were in a Stephen Knight production?
Who?
that you have the main roles in this. Your lives are probably going to change from this moment on. Like, it's incredible. These performances are brilliant. They're deserving of all of the focus and praise that they get, but like, this could be a real kind of turning point for you guys. Do you feel that, or do you just go job to job?
Job to job, if we're lucky, be honest. That's very kind of you to say.
Very kind, generally. Yeah, thank
you. That's really, really sweet of you to say.
I think I'm always just so, just feel lucky to be working, honestly. Mm. And I think that I remember listening to Brian Cox one time on Desert Island Discs, and he was talking about having this picture of himself in his wallet, like him as a baby, because he was like, the rest is all just like propaganda and dust and noise, and that's me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, that's really helpful, because I think... in the early stages of my career, I made the mistake of reading the reviews, the good ones and the bad ones. And the bad ones make you feel shite. And then the good ones, you fixate being like, oh God, I have to be good or whatever. And there wasn't that very many good ones, let me say. But I think then I thought of that. And I think like, I don't know, I was talking earlier about, I was with my uncle the other night, And he was making like a lamb jalfrezi, and we were just talking about the show, and I could feel how proud he was.
Okay.
And my mum was really proud, and my auntie and my nana watched the trailer, and she's like, "I just thought your voice," and it's just like, try to focus on that. Like, it makes them happy and proud, and I think like if I can do that, great. And then the rest, you really can't predict or control. So,
you know, I've spoken to lots of actors over the years. I mean, people who are in their 60s and they've worked their whole lives, and they still feel the same way. That for an actor, I think it's job to job, and you have to keep just working.
Completely.
And you don't land like I do into a job where I go, okay, yeah, for the next 25 years, I'm going to be a radio presenter. I don't know, maybe I'll get sacked next week. But you know what I mean? But at least there's a level of kind of security that actors just need to go work to work, and then the job can be good, or your performance can be good, but the thing could be terrible, you know, and you don't have control over those things. So,
yeah.
Okay, very quickly, I have to wrap up, but the music is incredible in this.
Yeah, bangers.
Contemporary music in a period piece is just brilliant. But I wonder, Anthony, what do you think, this has nothing to do with this show, what do you think of the current, because you did Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, of course, it's such an important part for you. What do you think of the new kind of spin-off TV thing that they seem to be putting together? Have you heard anything or?
I'm in it. I'm playing Harry Potter in it.
See, he's got all the exclusives. Thank you.
He's actually playing. Yes. He's actually playing all the parts.
I'm playing Hagrid.
And he's also writing and directing.
I thought you said writing.
I'm funding.
I've known nothing about it, mate. I'm not involved with it or anything. I'm partly in writing.
Wasn't even seen for
according to Darryl.
Amazing, lads. Well done. This is unbelievable. Your performances are astounding. I cannot wait for everyone to see it. So keep an eye out. House of Guinness on Netflix. Thanks a million.
Thank you so much. Amazing. So glad you enjoyed the show.
Dave Moore on Today FM.